for Gaza Corner, I want to do a deep dive into Archbishop Emeritus Desmond Tutu, who died last Sunday, 90 years young. The coverage was really everywhere, and deservingly so. For many around the world, Desmond Tutu was a moral icon without equal. He strongly advocated for human rights and peace around the world. In 1984, Bishop Tutu won the Nobel Peace Prize for his work fighting to end the apartheid rule in South Africa. He regularly spoke out on international human rights, including being an outspoken supporter of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement. But you really wouldn't know that from the massive coverage from the so-called liberal mainstream media. It's as if BDS has become so weaponized that it's a censored term. You don't hear, well, I'll go over a few of these headlines. For example, the BBC. Desmond Tutu, the staunch and steadfast healer of a nation. That's the headline. No mention of Palestine, no mention of Israel. The Guardian UK, the headline, anti-apartheid hero, Archbishop Desmond Tutu dies aged 90. Here's a quote from that obituary. Tutu remained interested in world affairs and determined to use his enormous moral prestige to make a difference. In 2015, he launched a petition urging global leaders to create a world run on renewable energies within 35 years. This was backed by more than 300,000 people globally. It described climate change as one of the greatest moral challenges of our time. He also spoke out against homophobic legislation in Uganda and argued in favor of assisted dying, unquote. Nowhere is there a mention of all the years that Bishop Tutu used his moral prestige to speak out against Israel's theft of Palestinian land and displacement of Palestinians. National Public Radio also obviously had quite a bit of coverage. Greg Myrie wrote a tribute called Desmond Tutu's Laugh Was Contagious. His fight for freedom was deadly serious. No mention of Israel or Palestine. On December 27th, on NPR's Morning Edition, there was an interview with Reverend Michael Battle, who was director of the Desmond Tutu, or I should say is director of the Desmond Tutu Center at General Theological Seminary in New York, and he spoke about Tutu's legacy, but no mention of Palestine or Israel. On All Things Considered on December 26th, the journalist Kate Bartlett spoke with Elisa Nadworny about what Desmond Tutu meant to the people of South Africa and the fight for social justice more broadly. Finally, there was a mention, quoting, "He's the moral compass." This is Elisa Nadworny. "He's the moral compass. I think the world will feel that loss too, because Tutu regularly spoke out on international human rights issues like Tibet, Palestine, and the Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar. He was a great friend of the Dalai Lama's as well." So one word, Palestine. December 27th, Washington Post published this headline, Desmond Tutu, exuberant apostle of racial justice in South Africa, dies at 90. To its credit, the Post included this line, quote, "Tutu repeatedly compared Israel's treatment of Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza to South Africa during the apartheid regime," unquote. New York Times had this headline, "Even in retirement, Desmond Tutu remained South Africa's moral compass." There was one paragraph that's worth quoting, germane to what we're talking about in terms of Desmond Tutu and his belief in boycotting. In 2010, this is quoting, in 2010, he unsuccessfully urged a touring Cape Town opera company not to perform in Israel, invoking South Africa's struggle against apartheid in criticizing Israel's policy toward Palestinians. He said that the company's production of Porgy and Bess should be postponed until both Israeli and Palestinian opera lovers of the region have equal opportunity and unfettered access to attend performances, unquote. The well-known Israeli newspaper, The Times of Israel, published this piece by blogger Judith Brown on December 28th. Quote, this is the headline, Desmond Tutu, an honored anti-Semite? Question mark. I'm not going to stoop so low as to even excerpt it. I'd rather have Bishop Tutu take over.
I want to ask one favor of you. I support and I hope every righteous person will support the struggle of the Palestinians for their land.
Allahu Akbar!
Allahu
Akbar!
But I must say this. When we opposed apartheid here, we were against injustice. We were against oppression. We're against everything that is evil. But remember,
we go for justice.
We did not become anti-white. Mm-hmm. We did not become anti-white. So I ask you, and I ask all over the world, those who support, and quite rightly, support the struggle of the Palestinians for their land, for justice, for freedom to move in and out of their country. I ask this one thing. Our struggle, their struggle, must be a just struggle. It must be against injustice. It must be against oppression. But it must not be that you and you and you and you then say, I am against Jews. We're not against Jews. We're not against Jews. We're not against Jews. I saw a placard there. We have Jews here. Yeah. Jews who support our struggle. And they supported our struggle against apartheid, against injustice, against oppression. And today we all live together. We oppose the injustice, the oppression in Palestine. But we are not anti-Jewish.
Those are the passionate words of Desmond Tutu. None of that content was reflected in the mainstream media these past few days, as far as I know. That was taken from a video. It's actually linked at the Gaza Corner section of the Tangents playlist. Thanks, Harry, for linking it. That's at tangents.com. Just click on the Tangents playlist in the left-hand column. It's a video of Archbishop Tutu addressing a 2014 rally for Palestine. This was in Cape Town. And the protest march was attended by over 250,000 people, which was the largest that South Africa witnessed on any issue since the dawn of its democracy. A definitive opinion piece, which really dug deeply into Bishop Tutu's beliefs concerning Israel and Palestine, was republished by the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. I say definitive because it was written by Desmond Tutu himself back in 2014. That's the year he won the Nobel Peace Prize. I don't have the exact date that Tutu wrote it, but it was after the summer of 2014 because it was after the 51-day assault on Gaza, which Israel referred to as Operation Protective Edge. The Gazans had no protection. The UN monitoring group, OSHA, estimated that over 2,250 Palestinians were killed as a result of the bombing and the missiles, and over 1,560 civilians killed, 66 Israeli soldiers and 7 civilians from Israel were also killed. Some 100,000 Gazans were displaced. I give you that so that you can have the context of what Bishop Tutu had on his mind when he wrote this opinion piece in Haaretz in 2014. And it is linked. Haaretz is a paywall. I'm not sure if you'd get the article for free or not, but I will excerpt it because I think it is really important. Not the whole thing, but much of it. Sadly, since 2014, conditions for Palestinians have only gotten much, much worse since this opinion piece was written by Desmond Tutu. It's called, "This is My Plea to the People of Israel." Quote, the words of Desmond Tutu. "This past week's have witnessed unprecedented action by members of civil society across the world against the injustice of Israel's disproportionately brutal response to the firing of missiles from Palestine. If you add together all the people who gathered over the past weekend to demand justice in Israel and Palestine, in Cape Town, Washington, D.C., New York, New Delhi, London, Dublin, and Sydney, and all the other cities, this was arguably the largest active outcry by citizens around a single cause ever in the history of the world. A quarter of a century ago, I participated in some well-attended demonstrations against apartheid. I never imagined we'd see demonstrations of that size again, but last Saturday's turnout in Cape Town, which was what we heard in that video, was as big, if not bigger. I asked the crowd to chant with me, 'We are opposed to the injustice of the illegal occupation of Palestine. We are opposed to the indiscriminate killing in Gaza. We are opposed to the indignity meted out to Palestinians at checkpoints and roadblocks. We are opposed to violence perpetrated by all parties, but we are not opposed to Jews.'" Again, this is all the words of Desmond Tutu. "Earlier in the week, I called for the suspension of Israel from the International Union of Architects, which was meeting in South Africa. I appealed to Israeli sisters and brothers present at the conference to actively disassociate themselves and their profession from the design and construction of infrastructure related to perpetrating injustice, including the separation barrier, the security terminals and checkpoints, and the settlements built on occupied Palestinian land. Over the past few weeks, more than 1.6 million people across the world have signed on to this movement by joining an Avaz campaign calling on corporations profiting from the Israeli occupation and or implicated in the abuse and repression of Palestinians to pull out. It is a movement that is gathering pace. We South Africans know about violence and hatred. We understand the pain of being the polecat of the world when it seems nobody understands or is even willing to listen to our perspective. It is where we come from. We also know the benefits that dialogue between our leaders eventually brought us when organizations labeled terrorist were unbanned and their leaders, including Nelson Mandela, were released from imprisonment, banishment, and exile. But what ultimately forced these leaders together around the negotiating table was the cocktail of persuasive, nonviolent tools that had been developed to isolate South Africa economically, academically, culturally, and psychologically. At a certain point, the tipping point, the then government realized that the cost of attempting to preserve apartheid outweighed the benefits. Those who continue to do business with Israel, who contribute to a sense of normalcy, he puts in quotes, in Israeli society, are doing the people of Israel and Palestine a disservice. They are contributing to the perpetuation of a profoundly unjust status quo. Those who contribute to Israel's temporary isolation are saying that Israelis and Palestinians are equally entitled to dignity and peace. Ultimately, events in Gaza over the past month or so are going to test who believes in the worth of human beings. Besides the recent devastation of Gaza, decent human beings everywhere, including many in Israel, are profoundly disturbed by the daily violations of human dignity and freedom of movement in Palestinians subjected to checkpoints and roadblocks. And Israel's policies of illegal occupation and the construction of buffer zone settlements on occupied land compound the difficulty of achieving an agreement in the future that is acceptable to all. The state of Israel is behaving as if there is no tomorrow. Its people will not live the peaceful and secure lives they crave and are entitled to as long as their leaders perpetuate conditions that sustain the conflict. I have condemned those in Palestine responsible for firing missiles and rockets at Israel. They are fanning the flames of hatred. I am opposed to all manifestations of violence. But we must be very clear that the people of Palestine have every right to struggle for their dignity and freedom. It is a struggle that has the support of many around the world. Peace requires the people of Israel and Palestine to recognize the human being in themselves and each other, to understand their interdependence. There is no military solution. The solution is more likely to come from that nonviolent toolbox we developed in South Africa in the 1980s to persuade the government of the necessity of altering its policies. The reason these tools, boycott, sanctions, and divestment, ultimately proved effective was because they had a critical mass of support, both inside and outside the country, the kind of support we have witnessed across the world in recent weeks in respect of Palestine. My plea to the people of Israel is to see beyond the moment, to see beyond the anger at feeling perpetually under siege, to see a world in which Israel and Palestine can coexist, a world in which mutual dignity and respect reign. It requires a mindset shift, that recognizes that attempting to perpetuate the current status quo is to damn future generations to violence and insecurity, a mindset shift that stops regarding legitimate criticism of a state's policies as an attack on Judaism, a mindset shift that begins at home and ripples out across communities and nations and regions to the diaspora scattered across the world we share, the only world we share. People united in pursuit of a righteous cause are unstoppable. The Jewish scriptures tell us that God is biased on the side of the weak, the dispossessed, the widow, the orphan, the alien who set slaves free on an exodus to a promised land. There was the prophet Amos who said we should let righteousness flow like a river. Goodness prevails in the end. The pursuit of freedom for the people of Palestine from humiliation and persecution by the policies of Israel is a righteous cause. It is a cause that the people of Israel should support. Nelson Mandela famously said that South Africans would not feel free until Palestinians were free. He might have added that the liberation of Palestine will liberate Israel too. Unquote. The words of the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu, this was in 2014, after Israel's 51-day war on Gaza. And that's linked at the Tangents playlist at tangents.com. There are several more links at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist. I want to highlight two of them. One is titled, this is both a statement and an interview, statement and interview by Archbishop Desmond Tutu, leader of Human Rights Council fact-finding mission into events of Beit Hanun massacre on November 8th, 2006. Beit Hanun is in Gaza. And the other one is statement by Archbishop Emeritus Desmond Tutu on United States efforts to curb freedom of speech. His opening lines are, quote, "I am writing today to express grave concern about a wave of legislative measures in the United States aimed at punishing and intimidating those who speak their conscience and challenge the human rights violations endured by the Palestinian people. These legislative efforts are in response to a growing international initiative, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, BDS movement, of which I have long been a supporter." And it goes on from there. I'll end Gaza Corner with a final quote from Desmond Tutu. "Those who turn a blind eye to injustice actually perpetuate injustice. If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor." Unquote.